Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Well, welcome, Ephraimites, and shalom. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim show on Tuesday, November the 22nd, 2022. And I want to welcome all of you, and today is Teachers Tuesday, but first, a word from our announcer.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Welcome back. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and I have a few announcements that I want to make. First of all, I want to remind all of you, we will be having a quarterly in Fairfield this coming January. Yes, you know what? That is less than 2 months away. Yes, January 13th, 14th, and 15th. There in Fairfield. And it is a $20 registration to cover the cost of the food. We feed you Friday night a meal after the service, after you fasted 3 days. And then we feed you Saturday breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we also feed you on Sunday morning breakfast. And for those of you that can hang around, we also feed you lunch also. So for $20, you are getting six meals. Yes, six meals. So we need you to pre-register so we know how much food to have, because God does not look favorably at us if we waste food. So be sure and get that registration in. At least let us know you plan to come. And children 11 to 6 are $10. 5 and under are free. And you can check out our itinerary page at www.jewishprophet.com, and there's more information there. We have Blog Talk Radio 5 days a week on this station with late Prophet Deckard and myself. We have another station that we have Prophet Gary Burpee on Tuesday and Prophet Greg Burpee on Thursdays. We have Sabbath Fellowship online. This is by Zoom, and it's available on our YouTube channel, Jewish Prophet, and that is on Friday night with Prophet Mark Leinbolt. We have a Wednesday service that I do that is available on that YouTube channel as well. All of us are teaching Prophet Deckard's materials. If you are interested, email us at cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we will send you a spreadsheet with all the information that you need to be able to participate. Well, as I said, it is Teachers Tuesday. Yes, it's Teachers Tuesday. We are looking at a series that I did called Seed the Kingdom of God with Force. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In the Amplified, it says, seize it by force as a precious prize. As a precious prize. The kingdom of God is a precious prize in our lives. God wants you and I to be part of the kingdom of God. But you are going to have to grab a hold of it, okay? Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 47. Luke chapter 8, verse 47. This is about the woman with the issue of blood. Now, she had heard that Yeshua had the ability to heal people. He had that ability that people who had been in his meetings, people who had been around him, had been healed. And she had heard about it, and she had a issue of blood. She had hemorrhaged for 12 long years. She had spent all of her money on physicians, and she could not be cured. And she heard about Yeshua. And she made up her mind. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. In other translations, it's talking about the tzitzis on the tallit. She's like, if I could just touch it, I would be healed. Now, that was going to be quite a feat for her, because legally, when she was not allowed to be in a crowd, legally she was considered unclean, and she should cry out, unclean, unclean. And here she pushed her way through the crowd to get to Yeshua, and she touched his tallit. She touched it. And she immediately was healed. And she felt that dry up. She must have been hemorrhaging very strongly to be able to feel it dry up immediately. And Yeshua stopped. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples looked at him and they're like, Yeshua, you're in the middle of a throng of people. There's people trying to get to you. You've been touched by so many people. What do you mean, who touched you? And he said, I felt virtue. He felt the anointing. She had seized the kingdom with force. And he felt that anointing go forth, and he said, who touched me? Luke 8:47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. She figured she was in trouble because she had not cried out, unclean, unclean. She came trembling, and she fell down before him, and she declared unto him and before all the people for what cause she had touched him. She was considered unclean. She shouldn't have touched anybody. And how she was healed immediately. And he said to her daughter, how could you dare touch me? You know, that's not what he said, is it? He said, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. She had heard, and she said, God, I want a piece of that. People healed in our meetings. We've had people come. She put a demand on the kingdom. She put a demand on the anointing. We've had people come to our meetings and they put a demand. They come and they say, God, if I could just get to the meeting and have hands laid on me, I'll be healed. I remember back in the 90s, I was still a Methodist pastor's wife. The church that we were assigned to canceled their Sunday night service on during the summer months. So I'd asked my husband, I said, I want to go hear the prophet. It was a two-hour drive one way to get to Fairfield from where we lived. My husband agreed. He said, you know what? We're not having evening services. You can do that. So I would get, we'd get done with our Sunday morning service. I would have a meal ready to feed my husband and my children and I. And as quickly as possible, I would get everybody loaded up and me and my girls, and they were young. They were third grade and kindergarten at the time. And I would load them up in the car and off we'd go for a two-hour trip to Fairfield. And I'd get there and I'd listen to the prophet preach and he'd get done and then I'd drive the 2 hours back home and I'd get in late. And all summer long I did this. Well, you know how small communities are. Word got out. And one of the teenagers at the church there was going to have knee surgery. And she came to me and she said, do you think God would heal my knee so I don't have to have surgery on it? And I said, yes, God would heal your knee. I said, why don't you see if you can come with me next week and God will heal your knee. And sure enough, she came. And sure enough, God healed her knee. Talking to prophet after him and I got married. And somehow it had come up about how I had done that. And he remembered it. He remembered calling out a knee. He was about to close the service down. He'd had the healing line. And all of a sudden, God said, don't close it down yet. There's a knee out there that needs to be healed. And he called it out, and he remembered. He remembered that girl. And I went up with her, and he prayed, and her knee was healed. And we were talking about it, and he said, do you understand what you did? And I said, I just brought her. God healed her. He said, no, you put a demand on the anointing. You put a demand on the anointing, just like this woman with the issue of blood put a demand on the anointing. He said, you came, you believed, and you demanded. And I'm like, wow. Wow. I never looked at it that way. You need to come to Fairfield. You need to come to a quarterly. You need to come putting a demand on the anointing. Put a demand on the anointing. Come expecting God to answer your prayers. Come expecting God to heal, to deliver, to answer your questions. Come and put a demand on the anointing. That's what this woman did. The kingdom is seized by force. You come to a service hoping Well, you may or not, may not receive anything. But if you come putting a demand, God, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. How many times have we failed to receive from the Father because we didn't put a demand on the anointing? The kingdom is seized by force. The kingdom is seized by force as a precious prize. What's the precious that you want today? What's the precious prize that you need today? You know, we've had things happen even over this blog. Just this past year. I was talking to one of our gentlemen over the phone. He said, I got something to share with you, Sister Donna. He said, you were praying. And as you were praying, you said, if you need healing anywhere, put your hand there. And he said, I began to think about it. He said, I've had heart problems for years. And so he said, I put my hand on my heart. And he said, God healed me. God healed me. He said, I completely was able to stop one medication, and I was able to reduce the amount of the second medication. He put a demand on the anointing. I had no idea. All I knew was that I was to pray for healing after I had done that service, whether it was a blog or whether it was YouTube, I don't remember. God is present. He is waiting on you to seize the kingdom as a prize. He's waiting on us. You see, Scripture says, you're healed. You're healed. It's just getting your flesh lined up with the Word of God. That's what it takes. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall take every man's work of what sort it is. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Oh, well, Sister Donna, I'm not part of the ministry. No, you may not be. You may not be part of the fivefold. And yet you might be, you just haven't developed it yet. You see, I haven't always been on blogs. I haven't always been on YouTube. I haven't always been part of the fivefold. Poured oil on me and anointed me as part of the fivefold way back in the early 2000s. I can't remember, 2003, 2004, I don't remember when he poured the oil on me. And before that, I was teaching the Sunday school in part of the ministry. But I was part of his ministry for years, and I was doing nothing but being a bench warmer, so to speak. But I was doing something. You know what I was doing? I was studying his word. I was writing word for word the sermons, and I have notebooks. I was attending every service, and I was faithful. I got up and prayed every day. And even before I was part of prophets, I developed a prayer life. I developed study habits. I studied the God's Word. I did word studies, and I have notebooks full of where I studied the Word of God. It's not about, are you part of the fivefold? It's about what you are doing for God's kingdom. Remember Hezekiah? The prophet Isaiah came and said, get your house in order because the sickness you have is unto death. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he began to pray and he began to say, God, remember all that I have done. And he began to rattle off what all he had done. And he said, God, remember what I've done. Can you cry to God and say, God, remember how I've developed a prayer life. Remember, God, how I have been fruitful and developing the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, God, how I have overcome temptation in this area and this area and this area, and I'm still working on that area. Your works will be tried by fire. The material possessions that you have will burn up and go up in flames. And it's amazing how fast a home will go up in flames. But your works will be tried by fire. See, your prayer life, your fruit of the Spirit, you seizing the kingdom of God, that is what will be left standing. That's what will be left standing. Your pity parties will burn. Your whining and crying, your dirty diapers will burn. But your faith will stand. You have to seize the kingdom. You have to seize the kingdom by force. You see, there's going to be a day of reckoning. What have you done for the kingdom? And it can be a simple thing. It can be very simple. I think I've shared with you before, you can be at the checkout line. You can be ordering your food at a restaurant. And you can walk up to the counter and there's somebody just being, nowadays we call it being a Karen. Being a Karen. And just giving that cashier a very rough time. And you can shine a little Christian love on that cashier. Or you can just keep your mouth shut, check out, and walk out the door and go, wow, glad I wasn't that cashier. You have to seize the opportunities to spread that spirit of love and joy and peace to a world that is hurting. Turn with me to Daniel. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 14. Daniel 7:14. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nation, language should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that shall not be destroyed. The kingdom of heaven will not be destroyed. It will not pass away. We are part. I love how Prophet used to put it. The spirit world is the real world. The flesh and blood world that we see is not the real world. The spirit world, the world that we don't see, the angels that we have set array by commanding them. That's the real world. But you see, we don't think of it that way because we can't see it. We can't feel it. But you see, everything has to be done in the spirit before it manifests in the flesh. That kingdom doesn't pass away. And that is the kingdom that you have to take by force. Go down to verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever and forever. We have to take the kingdom and we have to possess it. We have to take the kingdom and we have to possess it. I was meditating about faith yesterday. And I don't even know that I can express to you what dropped inside of me. I don't even know if I can express it in words. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is part of that kingdom. And without faith, we cannot please God. And I was meditating how, and I've shared with you guys how that God began to show me that when I walk out, on my front porch, when there is bad weather forecast to come, and I walk out there and I begin to pray and I begin to speak to that storm and I begin to command the angels and I set the angels about my properties. And I speak that no damage will be done in the name of Yeshua. And then I walk back in. The storm comes. Sometimes I've got pictures of the radar where it went around. Sometimes it comes through, but it's weakened. So I got proof that it worked. And I was meditating, and God says, you do that. And when you stop praying and you walk into the house, he says, you don't give it another thought. You don't run back out later after you hear the forecast again and do it again. You see, that would be doubt and unbelief. He said, you don't begin to worry about it. That would be doubt and unbelief. He says, you walk out there and you do it and you come back in and you just carry on with your life. You don't even give it another thought. And I'm like, yeah, because the angels are taken care of and it works. And I've seen it work. I know it works. There's no doubt in my mind that it works. Do you hear what I said? There's no doubt in my mind that it works. Why? Because I have past experience where I know that I know that I know. And I'm meditating this. And I'm thinking about this. And God began to bring up into me. And he says, you have to do that very same thing with everything. Did you hear me? Everything. And he began to bring up areas that my faith wavers. Areas that doubt and unbelief creep in over and over and over again. He said, you have to get to the place that you can pray and believe and command the angels in that area of your life and walk away and know that you know that it's taken care of. That you have that same confidence in me that I will take care of that just as I take care of the storms. And I'm meditating this, and I'm like, God, that's so simple. And yet, it seems to be so hard. Because I'm thinking about the areas where I fall short. I'm thinking about the areas in my life where I fail to walk in faith. And just for good measure, God reminded me of a few others I hadn't thought about. He goes, yeah, and don't forget this area and this area, too. I'm like, God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. It seems so easy over here, and yet it seems so hard in those areas. And God says, you have to get to the point that you trust me with all of them. You hear what I said? You have to get to the point that you trust me with all of them. You see, it's a matter of trusting God. That his word is true. Your flesh lies. The circumstances that you see are lies. But God's word is truth. And it's a matter of you speaking the faith. Speak into the situation. Commanding the angels if necessary. And then waiting for it to manifest. The kingdom won't pass away. And it's those things that will not burn in the fire. And as I was meditating, I was like, God, I fall short. I fall short, Father. He said, you all do. You all fall short. He said, the only one who walked the earth and didn't fall short was my son. And he said, my son used faith every single time he spoke the word into the situation. And he gave you the example. And I'm like, yes, Father. Yes, Father. He did. He did. He gave us the example. All we have to do is follow it. But you see, we are going to have to be brave, just as this woman with the issue of blood. She was brave enough that she knew that if she got caught in that crowd, you see, if she walked into that crowd, there could have been somebody look at her and go, I know you. Hey, she's unclean. She's in this crowd. Somebody grab her, take her, get her out of here. She's unclean. That's the reason why when Yeshua said, who touched me, she didn't volunteer and say, I did it. Because she wasn't legally able to do that. And it says when she saw that she wasn't hid, when she saw that Yeshua knew somebody had touched him, and she knew that who he was talking about was her, and she knew he knew too. She said, it was me. She goes, it was me. She said, I said, if I could just touch, I would be healed. And she said, I was healed. And I'm sure there was a gasp. And I'm sure people backed up as she spoke, because she was unclean. How dare her? She exposed all of us to her uncleanness. And Yeshua said, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. We have to learn. We have to learn to seize the kingdom. On down, verse 22, we're in Daniel 7. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You see, this world is not for the world. This world, this whole thing is about us possessing the kingdom of God. And Yeshua is going to set up that kingdom one day. And we will be part of it. If we have received him as Lord, if we have what? Listened and obeyed. Listened and obeyed. You see, as I was meditating, God was teaching me. God was showing me. Not something new. I preach about faith. I teach faith. I've walked faith. But God was opening my eyes to a deeper level of faith than I have walked in on a regular basis. And he didn't do it through condemnation. No, he said, look, you do it here, but you fall short there. Look, you do it here, and you don't question it. Just as those of you who sitting in a chair right now, you sit down in that chair, you didn't question whether it would break. You just sat in it. We have to get to the point that we use faith, and it's just as common as sitting in that chair. It's just as common as getting in the car and turning the key and expecting it to start. Now, some of you may have vehicles that you turn the key and it doesn't start, and you're like, well, that's just par for the course. It's just kind of normal. Wonder what's wrong with it now. But the majority of us get in a car, we turn the key, and the thing starts, and away we go. And we don't expect it to do anything different. And that's what you have to do with faith. And God was teaching me, and he was saying, I want you to get to this level of confidence and trust in that area and in that area and in that area and that area there that you haven't even thought about using faith on. See, God will take us deeper. He will take us deeper and deeper. Kingdom taken by force. Prize. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember when I was in my 20s, I'd sought for the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'd received it. And I'm telling you, changed my life. It was like the Word of God just opened up, and I saw scriptures that I saw them like they were brand new, and yet I had been in church my whole life. And I can remember it was like I was so hungry for the Word of God to know more. And I was studying, and I would study for days because I could. I had a young baby. My husband was gone to seminary, and all I had to do was diaper feed and put that baby to bed, and I could study. And I did. I would study the 4 days my husband was gone. I'm telling you, I would study for hours. I would study. Because the Word of God was opening up to me. And I remember this scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, I was young, and you know, we were seeking. We were seeking for a good paying job. We were seeking for material things. I wanted a dishwasher and a microwave, and I couldn't afford one. We were seeking for relationships with our parishioners. We were seeking for children, for a family. We were seeking for this and for that. And I began to study this. It says, seek first the kingdom, and then all the rest of it will be added. You see, we have it backwards. We seek all the material things, and we're like, well, God, as soon as I get that good-paying job, then I can serve you. As soon as, God, as I get that better car, then I can go to quarters. God, as soon as this, then I can serve you. No, God says, no, that's backwards. Kingdom, he said. And then I will bless you with everything else. Seek first my kingdom. Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you trying your best to produce the fruit, to overcome the temptation, to grow deeper, to walk by faith and not by sight, to watch what you speak out your mouth? Are you seeking God's kingdom, or are you seeking for the rest of it? What you will eat, what you'll wear, what you'll have, kingdom. The kingdom first. But you are going to have to seize it. You are going to have to slap your flesh. You are going to have to make that effort, put that demand. And you are the only one can do that. I can do it for me. Your spouse can do it for themselves. But the only one that can do it for you is you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Go to chapter 7. We're in Matthew. Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What? What? Not everyone who says, Lord, was going to enter. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Are you doing God's will with your life? You know, we put on rose-colored glasses sometimes, and we think, oh, yeah, God, I'm doing your will. And then there are times when he will, Mom used to say when I was a kid, I'll jerk a knot in your tail. He'll jerk a knot in your tail and he'll say, what about over here? And he'll show you where you're not doing his will. It says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name, have we not cast out devils? Sounds like a good service to me. Prophecy. Deliverance. And in thy name have not many wonders and works. And then will I profess unto them. Listen, look at that, verse 23. I never knew you. Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That means you work against the law. How many of you know the Lord? I remember when I first came to prophet's ministry and would come to his services, and he would cry in the pulpit, and he'd say, most of you wouldn't know Yeshua if he came in to this service and sat down right beside you. And I was taken back. I was like, what do you mean I wouldn't know Yeshua? What do you mean I wouldn't know him? I've been serving him. I've been saved since I was 11, been to church my whole life. He said, most of you in this congregation wouldn't know him if he came in and sat down beside you. That bothered me. Like, God, I want to know you. To know you. Well, you are only going to know you if you communicate with him. You are only going to know him if you spend time studying his word. You see, before I was married to either one of my husbands, I had to get to know them. We had phone calls. We may have had letters that we wrote once to each other. We may have went on a date or a picnic, or maybe just spent time visiting, getting to know one another, finding out each other's likes and dislikes. Learning what makes them happy, angry, sad. It was beyond what is your favorite color and what's your favorite TV show and what would you like for your birthday. It was getting to intimately know one another to the point, after we'd been married not very long, he could look at me and he'd say, you're upset. I'm like, no, I'm not upset. He goes, you're upset. And I asked him one day, it's like, there's been several times that you've looked at me and said, you're upset. And I go, no, I'm not. But about 10 minutes later, I realize, yes, I am. I said, you know I'm upset before I know I'm upset. How do you know that? Because I thought maybe it was because he was a prophet. It wasn't because he was a prophet at all. It's because he knew me. You know what he knew? He said, when you're upset, your eyes dilate. And he says, your eyes were dilated. So I knew you were upset. It had nothing to do with being a prophet. It had to be know that he knew me enough that he knew the size of the pupil of my eyes. He knew I was upset. And he said, what are you upset about? Yeshua said, depart from me. I never knew you. You that work against God's law. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house on a rock. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. Do you know God? Do you know him? Or is he going to say, I never knew you. You built your house on the sand. You didn't build your house on the rock. You didn't know me, and I don't know you. Get out of here. Posture. You haven't worked for the law and the kingdom of God. You've worked against it. Kingdom is seized by force. God loves you. He made a way for you. He said, if you just seek my kingdom, I'll add everything else to you. I'll provide for you. I'll give you health. I'll make things happen just right for you. Seek my kingdom first. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Father, I know you're dealing with hearts right now. Father, you're dealing with hearts about seeking your kingdom. Father, I know that as I've ministered, you've shown things to people, intimate things, that they have fallen short. Satan, I bind you from that. I bind you from it. Father, I ask for encouragement for them. I ask, Father, that they will step out and seize the kingdom in that area. That they will begin to know you. That they'll seek your kingdom, Father, first. Now, anyone that has needs prayer, anyone who needs prayer, I want you to put your hand wherever that is. There's somebody you've got a lump. Put your hand on that lump. Somebody else, you've got a growth. Put your hand on that growth. That's going to heal you today. Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I speak to that growth. I speak to that lump. I speak to whatever that is, that physical thing that needs to be healed. I speak to it. I command it. In the name of Yeshua, to be healed. Satan, you take your lying symptoms. You take them and you leave. I curse those symptoms. I curse them in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. And I send forth your holy angels. I send forth your holy angels, Father, to cause that healing to manifest. Cause it to manifest, Father. There it is. Receive it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Those of you that received healing, want you to do something you haven't been able to do. And then, will you write us at Cradle at Jewish Prophet and say, God healed me. God healed me. Well, I want to thank each of you for tuning in. And I want to remind you that with God, all things are possible. Shmoo.